me.
There is no distance, cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor.
I stand in the middle. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. As far as I know, God is still on the throne. He was this morning when I was talking to him. Hallelujah. I want to read from the Psalms here this morning. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The God you serve today, his greatness cannot be searched. It's too vast, too wide, that you can't possibly even search it out. Amen? That's the God we serve this morning. So whatever your problem might be this morning, or whatever difficulty you might be going through, God is bigger than your problem. Amen? God is bigger than America's problems. Matter of fact, God is the answer for America's problems. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up with me if you would. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you this morning. We magnify your holy name. Father, we thank you that your greatness is so vast, so wide, that you couldn't possibly search it out. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we invite you, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of your people this morning. Destroy yokes and lift burdens in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
A hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Yeah. what holds your heart, what stirs your soul, what matters come to mind. The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming, there's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing, praise the Lord. The years roll by, we wonder why we lost our way from home. Our Father finds the child inside. We left for growing old. Awake, 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 my soul. Joy still comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurt.
Jesus died for me. Yes, he. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see all made new? All creation groaning is a new creation coming. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of Judah, who conquered the grave? He's dead.
Hallelujah. We love you this morning, Father. We praise you and magnify you. Lord, we come boldly to your throne of grace this morning because we are your children, Lord God. But we come humbly and reverently, Lord, because of who you are. You are the Melech HaOlam, the King of the universe. And Father, we come by way of the altar of sacrifice and the brazen laver, Lord God. Father, we don't stand here in the name of Abraham, Yitzhak, or Yaakov. We stand here in the name of Yeshua, our King and our Messiah. We stand before you this morning, Lord God, not in our righteous robes, which are as filthy rags, but we stand before you in the righteousness of our King and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, right now, that we might obtain mercy, Lord God. Mercy for Robin, who's lost a son, Lord God. Mercy for Janie, Lord God, who has lost a nephew, Father God. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that in this mourning season, Lord God, eventually joy will come. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. But we ask that you comfort, lead, and guide through the mourning process, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, that no matter what the enemy brings against us, that you have given us the ability and the free gift to live by faith in an awesome, mighty God in a troubled world. And Father, we thank you and praise you. You are not a God of death, but you are a God of life. And Father, we just praise you this morning. We magnify you and glorify you. We praise you. You are our rock, our buckler, our high tower. You are a very present help in time of trouble. You are the lifter of our heads. Father, you are El Emet, the God who is truth. Father, I praise you this morning. I thank you. I lift up this young man, Lord God. I got a call about yesterday, Lord. His name is Weston. Lord, he has a severe concussion and his parents are worried. And Father, I just pray that your healing anointing come down upon this young man right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Heal him. There'll be no side effects, Lord God. Heal him. Make him whole. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding come into that household, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We praise you. I thank you for this church family, Lord God. I thank you for family because with family, when one hurts, we all hurt, Lord God. And Father, when one hurts, we can rally around and lift them up to you, oh God. And Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that follows us every day. Your word says your mercy is renewed every day. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. There is none like you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise him. Praise him. I can go home now. I just bless my socks off. But I won't. There might be somebody watching. Hallelujah. Besides that, you never had a chance to be blessed. Never gave you a chance to give an offering. I better get my Bible. So if you need an offering envelope, Bernie's got them. If you don't, that's fine too. Let's pray and you can give this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Lord, for seed that we can sow into your kingdom. I thank you, Father, that we place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you will multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom and cause a harvest back to the sower. For that we give you praise, glory, and honor today. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hate to be up here. I'd rather be down there with y'all. Hallelujah. I might just end up down there. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. I might get my little buddy. I might use my little buddy here. My little friend. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. My God, my King. Hallelujah. You hang in there, Janie. Praise his mighty name. I cannot even imagine how Miss Robin feels to lose a child. I don't care how old that child is. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. But know this, we are lifting her up and lifting you up. Amen. Because we know one that can heal a broken heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, you got that task performed now, Bernie?
Yes, sir.
All right. What a guy. What a guy. John chapter 1, page 1444. If you got a Bible like mine, verse 14. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you read in Proverbs 8, wisdom is doing the talking, and wisdom says that he was God's most precious instrument of creation. Hallelujah. And that wisdom, or that word of God, is how God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and things began to happen. Amen. And that wisdom, or that word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says in chapter 14, that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now watch. Full of grace and truth. Now that doesn't mean, like some people think, that there was no grace in the biblical text until Jesus shows up. God has always been, always was, always will be a God of mercy. Amen. The Bible says, God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So grace did not just happen when Jesus showed up. Neither did truth just happen when Jesus showed up. What the Bible says here is that the Word of God, manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus, was the embodiment, the fullness of God's grace, the fullness of God's truth. Amen? He beheld the glory of the Father, the glory of God's grace. What about God's grace? Jesus showed God's grace when he healed the sick, when he fed the multitude. Amen? He showed them God's truth by never, ever, ever disobeying the word of God, his Father. Amen? Full of grace and truth. Now, this one incarnate in the flesh, full of grace and truth, would become your high priest. Amen? He would become your high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What's that mean? That means he is an eternal priest, but he is an eternal king priest. And the Bible says, tells us clearly, that through his blood, Yeshua, Jesus, has made us both priests and kings unto his God. That's what Revelation 1:6 says. So you are to carry yourself as a priest before God. And what did we say a priest does? A priest goes in to the presence of God. Amen. We use the tabernacle as an analogy. The priest went by the altar of sacrifice. Through, you know, and that altar sacrifice for us is this cross. The cross of Jesus, where the ultimate sacrifice hung. Amen. Past the brazen laver. The laver was where the priest washed. You're washed and cleansed by the water of the Word of God. Amen. As you study. Glory to God. Then into God's presence. Where the altar of incense was lit by the priests every day, and that altar of incense represents your prayers going up to God as a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. Amen. But as a king and a priest, you go into God, but as a king, you walk in His authority. Amen. You are to declare the Word of God. Amen. But one of the things a priest must do is he must live by the Word of God, or he must be full of God's truth. You live in a society right now where truth is so far from us. And the most frustrating thing is, it doesn't seem like anyone wants to hear the truth. Amen. I did see this morning where the Supreme Court is going to hear the arguments of the election fraud. I did see that this morning. They are going to hear those arguments. That doesn't mean they're going to do anything. It just means they're going to hear the arguments. Okay? I don't want to get your hopes up there, all right? Now, let me show you this word truth. The word, I knew I was going to start a firestorm, Lord. Emet, Hebrew word for truth. Okay? It comes from a root word, aman. You recognize aman? Amen. Okay? And aman also has a derivative, emunah, which is faith. All right? Or faithful. But the word truth, emet, in Hebrew, actually means support. Okay? Or firmness. Remember, it shares this root word with emunah, faith or faithfulness. And the first place we see emunah used in the Bible is when Aaron and Hur are holding up, they're lending support to Moses' hands, and Joshua's winning the battle. Amen? But the idea of truth being support or firmness is the idea of a tent peg. You ever see a tent? They set a tent on its poles, but then they pull the rope or the cord down, and they drive the peg in and tie it off, and it strengthens or it firms up the tent. Amen? So God's word is meant to be, or God's truth is meant to be a support. It is the firm foundation from which your life should be built. Remember what Jesus said? We used to sing it in Sunday school. The wise man built his house upon the rocks, right? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, and pew, I liked that part when I was little. Pew, wiped it out, man. But the wise man built his house upon the rock. And that rock is God's word, God's truth. And that rock also is his truth incarnate in the flesh in the person of your new high priest and your soon coming king, the Lord Jesus. Amen? So that's the meaning of truth. Glory to God. Firmness and support that the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, they are visual people. Okay? When sometimes we will say grace is God's unmerited favor, and it certainly is. But that's kind of abstract. How do I put God's unmerited favor into action? Okay? The Jewish people are very visual. So their idea of support or firmness is those strong arms of a parent wrapped around that little child. My God, I don't know. Somebody should have shouted right there. Because we live in some difficult times. But see, you all said amen to that, but can I give you a revelation? Since the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, Jesus, there's been troubled times. Paul's beheaded, Peter's hung upside down, James is thrown off the Temple Mount. Ignatius was fed the lions. Polycarp, a disciple of John, was burned at the stake. The pilgrims were persecuted. and driven out of England and hunted down. Lost everything, but still made it over here. I've been reading the biography. I may have mentioned it last week. I've been reading the biography of a man named Eliezer ben Yehuda. He is the man who had the vision or the dream that there would not only be a state of Israel, but that the language spoken would be the ancient Hebrew language, your biblical language. And there's modern Hebrew. And the man worked for 25 years. He wouldn't let his wife speak anything in the home but Hebrew, or his children, because he said, if I'm preaching this, that we should, Hebrew should be the national language, but my wife and children aren't speaking it, then I become a hypocrite. And so, but he had tuberculosis as a young boy. His wife died. 3 or 4 of his kids died. He faced fierce opposition from religious folks in Jerusalem. And somehow, some way, by the grace of God, Hebrew is the national language of the Israeli people today because of one man with one dream and one vision. And I've been desperately trying to buy his dictionary that he spent 25 years working on. It's out there somewhere. So if you see it, you know. Well, you know, I've learned over the years that when Americans want something, money's not really the object. They'll come up with a way. It might rob Peter to pay Paul, but they'll come up with a way. And I've seen some of you do the same thing. We always seem to find a way if we want it bad enough. Amen? So, truth is, means support or firmness. Your life, if it's going to be on a firm foundation in difficult times, must be established on the God who is truth and His Word. Amen? No other. Listen, there is almost a hatred for truth right now. I'm telling you, from the election fraud, that, okay, so maybe there's not an election fraud. But could we at least investigate it so that the next election is on the up and up? I mean, what's wrong with that? We know that the current president, his son, was in the Chinese back pocket. Well, why can't we at least investigate? Why can't we look for truth? We look for impeachment, Russian collusion for 4 years. It's like, we don't want to know the truth. It's like that movie, you know, that had Jack Nicholson in it, and he was on the witness stand, and he tells Tom Cruise at military lawyer, he says, "You can't stand the truth." And can I say one other thing? The Green New Deal is a lie. Did you? It's a lie from hell. People who are behind the Green New Deal are pagans. They worship Mother Earth. I'm going to tell you something else, and I'll give you evidence next week. Pope Francis is a Green New Dealer. He refers to Mother Earth as our sister. It's crazy. There's not a Mother Earth. There's a God the Father and His Son, and He's seated at His right hand. So in America today and around the world, there seems to be an absence of want to where truth is concerned. However, for God's people, you have no excuse. You've got to be hungry for truth. And in order that you can live in troubled times, be the priest and king that God's called you to be, truth must be a center point of your life. Your life must be built on the Word of God. Let me read you some things. In Philippians 2:5, it says, Paul says, let this mind be in you. Talking about the mind of Christ Jesus, okay? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul clearly tells us that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Hebrew mind, now listen to me, the Hebrew mind, they think differently than us folks in the West. The Hebrew mind on the dynamic or the power of truth, they believe that the dynamic of truth is that it had the power to change or transform. They believe that truth played a vital role in the transformation or the formation of the character of the person and the restoration of the world. I'm going to say that again. They believe that the truth of God's word had the power to transform you or form your character. Why do you think God said in Deuteronomy 6, when it says, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, or Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He says that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And he says you're to study his word when you get up, when you go to bed. And he said you're supposed to teach it to your children. Why? Because to that young child, the word of God has the power to form the character of that child. Amen. But praise God for us old heads who maybe got off the path of God. That same word has the power to transform us and bring us back to God's path. Amen. So the answer to America's problem is we need to get back on track with God. Amen. We need that revival. Revival is the only thing that will change hearts and lives. All right, let me keep going here. I wrote these notes down. Now, Jews believe that truth had the power, the truth of God's word had the power to transform and form character in a person, especially in their relationship with God, who is Elimet, to whom everyone, you ready? To whom everyone must give an account, right? God's keeping score, believe it or not. Therefore, they believe that the nature of truth becomes grounded in the moments of decision that we encounter in one's life. For instance, if the Word of God has transformed you, or the Word of God has formed you from a young child, you will come to a place in your life every day where you got to make decisions. And it's going to be that Word of God that has formed the character in you that's going to determine the decision you make. Gee, that little cashier at the grocery store gave me back $30 too much. Praise the Lord for the blessing. He blessed me. No, 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 no. You're stealing now. My Bible says, thou shalt not steal. See, that's a decision. Oh, honey, you gave me $30 too much. See? See, that word of God is alive and well. That's why the writer of Proverbs, well, let's go over there to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. I will tell you, there is a vacancy sign in America when it comes to truth. It done got up and left. Verse 20. I mean, come on now. Debbie read me something the other day. Said a five-year-old asked his mom, "Mom, can I drink? No, you're only five. Can I smoke? No, you're only five. Can I drive the car? No, you're only five. Well, Mom, can I decide if whether I'm going to be a boy or a girl?" And he said, "Oh, go ahead, honey, whatever you want." That's where we come to. That's where we've come to, is a lack of truth. Am I a boy or am I a girl? Look in the mirror. God didn't make any junk. God didn't make any mistakes. God didn't make you gay. God didn't make you homosexual. God made both male and female. See, that word of God has not had the opportunity to form the character of that child. Let me keep going here. Verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4, page 809. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence." Watch. "For out of it springs the issues of life." The issues of life are the choices you make, the decisions you make. Amen. And if you haven't studied the word, you haven't read the word, you're not hiding it. He says diligently. He said diligently. That means you get it out every, you get it out as often as you can, every day if possible. Get it out of the window sill of your car and bring it in the house. Just saying. I used to go to church, but I really wasn't a student of the Word of God. I'd be looking, getting ready to go walk through the parking lot at New Life looking for my Bible. You know, where's it at? We had a big full-size van. Somehow that thing would get from the front of the van on Sunday morning, get all the way to the back of the van. But then I realized that the only way God was going to truly transform me was if I became a student of that word, if I began to read that word. And I asked God to explain it to me. I asked God to give me revelation of that word. And I started devouring that word like I was probably doing something wrong. I would go to work. I would, on an evening shift, I loved evenings. I loved midnights because there wasn't any bosses around. I could go out, catch my samples, make my rounds, go back in the computer room and read. And I don't know how many times I read that Bible through working at Ashland Oil. Well, I put in time at Ashland Oil. I, you know, don't know if I did much work. Tom did all the work so I could read. I'm telling the truth, ain't it, Tom? Bible also says, "Thou shalt not lie." How many times a day do you have a decision to make? Am I going to tell the truth and look bad? Oh, or I'm going to tell a little white lie. I'm going to tweak it a little bit so that they don't think bad of me. Yeah, you did. The last three words of the creation story found in Genesis 2:3 in Hebrew, I'm going to tell you what it says. In Hebrew, it reads this way, Bara, which means to create. Bara Elohim le'asot. And what it means is, God created to do. Okay? And the ancient sages, they come up with some ideas sometimes. I don't know, some of them are really good and some of them are not so good, and I leave the not so good ones away. But in this case, in the Hebrew language, those three words, the last letter of each word spells this. you read this from right to left. It spells Emet. So what they said was this. After God created everything, he sealed it with truth. I kind of like that. Because the creation story, you and I believe, it's true. Amen. God sealed it with truth. And so they go on to say, they go on to believe that someone's life, someone who is godly, someone who is living for God, their life should be sealed with truth. Or in other words, in their doing, every day, attitude, conduct, speech, in their doing, the truth of God's word will be seen. So, when you get mad and you cuss a blue streak, you're not really expressing the truth that's inside you, are you? Just saying. Now, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. I want to show you something here real quick. See, you're a priest before God. A priest before God, you can't take your priesthood off on Monday and put it back on Sunday morning. You are a king and a priest, one who is to serve God, be in the presence of God, and declare God to the rest of the world as a king. John chapter 4, watch this. I don't know yet. Let's see. Let's pick it up in verse 9. This is Jesus is in Samaria. And this is the story of the woman at the well. Remember her? And Jesus sends the disciples. He sends them to get bread. All right? And I think he sent them away because Samaritans were half Jews. And Samaritans, half Jews, and Jews, they didn't like each other. I mean, they really didn't like each other. If I, as a Samaritan, walked in a Jew's yard, they would put straw down on my footprints and burn it to get rid of the cooties. If I, as a Samaritan, I don't know what cooties is, but when I was little, girls had them, okay? All right? Sorry, y'all. You know what I mean, right? Okay. But if I, a Samaritan, owed Bernie the Jew, he kind of looks a little Jewish, the Bernie the Jew money, I couldn't just give it from my hand to Bernie. I had to put it in water. Clean the cooties, the Samaritan cooties off. So they really didn't like each other. And I'm pretty sure Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, knew this woman was coming. Guys, go in town, buy us some bread. I need to talk to this Samaritan woman. So let's pick it up in verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Amen. Now, Jesus said, and I won't stop right here for a minute. I'm going to just give you a little, this is a little bonus. I'm not going to charge you for this. Okay? It's all free. From this point on, it's free. Now, remember, Hebrew words, Hebrew letters have symbols, right? So this symbol here of the Aleph, does anybody remember what it is? The ancient pictograph, when they drew pictures before they had letters, is an ox's head. And it's a symbol of the burden bearer. Someone who bears a burden, all right? The Tav, the symbol is a cross, a kind of a leaning cross, like a mark, all right? So Jesus would have said, no doubt in my mind, he would not have said, "I'm the Alpha and Omega," but he would have said, "I'm the Aleph and the Tav." Because the Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And guess what? And the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the Mem. So in this word Emet, it encompasses every letter that you would ever find in your Hebrew Bible. The complete truth. But now watch. So here's the burden bearer and the cross representing who? Jesus. But you know what the symbol of the Mem is? Water. Water. Jesus, the Lamb of God, tells this woman. And we know he is full of grace and truth. Tells this woman, if you would have known who it was you were talking to, you would have asked me for a drink. Amen? Now that water is going to be a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit. Amen? And that Holy Spirit comes from Jesus, right? When he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Peter said it in Acts chapter 2. This is proof positive that this Jesus whom you've crucified is now seated at the right hand of God because he's poured out his Spirit on all flesh. He poured out that living water. That's just some funsy stuff, okay? All right? God pays attention to all the details. Now, let me keep going here. Let me keep reading here. Verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming. Now pay attention to this. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit, out of your heart, and in truth. Elemet. Emet. Elemet is God is truth, or the God of truth. So we're to worship him in truth. In other words, as a priest, as a king priest, made after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal priesthood, we can't take our priesthood off and live like the devil 6 days a week and put it back on and come to church and expect to worship in spirit and in truth. You can't worship God in truth if you're not living according to the truth of his word. Amen? You can sing a song. You can even sing till you get blessed. But you can't worship him in truth if you're not living every day according to his truth. Amen. The Bible says not to gossip. One guy told me one day, he said, man, I can't wait to see the book of Acts duplicated. Because I said that. I said that in a message. He heard me. He said, I can't wait to see blind eye opened. See, a guy asked me one time what I thought I needed for my church to grow. I said, one blind eye opened. Just one blind eye opened, all I need. I was telling him, I need the power of God in the midst of God's people, right here on the corner of, what corner are we on? Fifth and Monroe, right? I forgot where I was going with all that. It's all right, though. Oh, I know what I told him. He said, I just can't wait till the power of God lifts people out of wheelchairs. I said, I'll tell you a greater one. I can't wait to when God's people take his word serious enough that they quit gossiping and talking about other people. He looked bumfuzzled at me. You know what bumfuzzled is, right? Like a cow looking at a new gate. Where did that come from? I used to walk through here. Who put that there? And I still feel that way. As a priest and a king, the word of God, truth, is not something that sits on your coffee table, in the back window of your car. It's something you do. It's something you live, priest. If we don't live this truth, we can declare God's word, we can lay hands on anything that moves, and no power is going to come through us. Oh man, I really messed up, Lord. Let me show you one other thing here. Maybe two. Now, this olive here, right? This olive, it represents the burden bearer. It represents also the oneness of God. So we could say that olive represents God. Amen? But watch. And he's the God of life, right? Amen. If I take that olive away, if I take God out of there, if I take my burden bearer out of there, then I get the word met. Met means dead. Wait a minute. That's what's wrong with America. They've taken God out of it. Now, the Green Deal folks, the open border folks, the transgender folks, the LBGQ, whatever, TIAYZ, they're spiritually dead. The AOCs. I'm going to call them by name. The Chuck Schumers. The Pelosis. The Nadlers. The Shifty Shifts. They're spiritually dead. There's no fear of God. No reverence for God. They want God out of the square. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because they can't stand the truth. Because they want a one world order ran by the elites. Oh, they want this stimulus so bad so they can give money to everybody. They want us to get used to condition to that. Government money. And pretty soon it'll be $1,400 this time. Next time it'll be $800. Next time it'll be 600. Next time it'll be 400. Then it might be 300. I'll say, hey, you just need to be thankful for what you got. I'm just saying. You know, my Bible tells me, you know what my Bible says about wealth? It says that God gave you the ability. The ability to get wealth. Well, you know what? That's all lie. The left, it's all lie. They fear the truth of God's word, and here's why. Because we are dissenters. We're not going along with the crowd. They want to shut your voice down because they don't want to hear about God or truth. Amen. They want us to accept. They want us to accept homosexuality. Well, you're supposed to love. I love them, but I'm not going to compromise the truth to keep them. Truth you know sets you free. All right, let me get going so I can close. Now, turn with me to John 14. You're right there in John. Turn to John 14. I'm going to close here in a minute. I might want to go to the chicken house or someplace. Who knows? Come by that little country church there on 93. We was behind a big truck today. I got partway here and had to go back home. And we got behind a big truck. Then my windshield fluid wouldn't work. Had to pull off to Rich Station, clean my windows so I could make it here, because it was pretty tough to see, you know. But we got here, you know. But we come by the Baptist church, it's already gone. Yeah, man, it's pulling out. Pulling out, already headed to the chicken house. All right, now watch. Chapter 14, page 1469, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Boom. Muhammad can't lead you to God. Buddha cannot lead you to God. Only Jesus. These nitwits that keep telling us that Islam is another path to God, they're not walking in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I'm the only way to the Father. Islam, by the way, doesn't even believe God has a son. Oh me or oh my. And oh, your green folks, your climate change folks, they worship Mother Earth. So there's no room in their dialogue for God the Father. And I don't know if any of you was able to sit in on my class on prayer the other day, but we did a little Hebrew. Avi. Let's do that right now. Everybody say Avi. Avi. Say it one more time. Avi. Avi. My Father. Avi. My Father. Jesus got in big trouble with that word, with the Pharisees. Because he called God my Father. Avi. They got no. La. La Avi. No Avi. Avinu, our Father. They got all wrapped up, tight about it. But you know what? This morning we can say Avi, my Father. Or we can say Avinu, our Father. Amen? Jesus is the only way of the Father. Now, I got one more scripture. Turn with me to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. I'm going to close. I know I was a little bit on the soapbox this morning, but you know what? I'm just kind of fed up to hear with all the lies, you know, just up to here. And they don't like anybody that speaks truth. Anybody that speaks truth is in trouble. Look at my buddy Lou Dobbs. Yeah. Well, all he did was speak truth. Let me tell you something. When you speak truth to power, sometimes power doesn't like it. Huh? You remember what Pilate said? Remember what old Pilate said? Pilate said, what is truth? When he's speaking to Jesus. Pilate said, just what is truth? I'll tell you what, let's go over and look at it. We'll read two scriptures. It's in John 18. Keep your finger in Zechariah and go over to John 18. Keep your finger there. You got time. I'm not on the clock, so I'm not charging you. Remember, let's start verse 28. And then I'm going to give a word to you priests, okay? It says in verse 28, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas. You know, Caiaphas was a corrupt high priest. From Caiaphas to the praetorium where Pilate was. And it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, because Gentiles lived in the praetorium. All right? Can't be hanging out with no Gentiles. But that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, because see, if they went into the house of a Gentile, they would be defiled and they wouldn't be able to partake of the Passover. Okay. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. We can't kill him. We want him dead. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation, the chief priests, have delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So if everyone who knows the truth hears God's voice, then we can honestly say here this morning, truthfully, that a large portion of America is not hearing truth because they do not know his voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Well, number one, God is truth. Elamet. Number two, Jesus is truth. He is the Word of God, manifest in the flesh, full of grace and truth. God's Word is truth. Amen. There's your answer, Pilate. Now let's go over to Zechariah chapter 8. You are a priest before your God. You are a priest king. You have the authority to declare things. So what should you declare? God's word. Amen. Verse 16. I'd love to read this whole thing, but I'm not going to. I'm 8. Page 1257, got a Bible like mine. Hallelujah. Zechariah 8. I'm speaking to you priests now. You king priests. Now this is coming from God. Let's read verse 15. Give us a little bit of context. So again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. So as a priest, you must learn to speak truth. Amen? Speak truth. I'm telling you, folks, our greatest days are in front of us. The power of God is coming back into the body. Not a body that believes a lie, or a body that walks in a lie, or a body that cannot speak truth. But a body who fears God. And you know what fearing God means around here. It means you're walking and living according to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Tom and Janie, you want to serve communion this morning? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Praise His mighty name. Glory to God. Praise His mighty name. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on Him. God is good. Can I say something? I'm gonna tell you something.